Counselor McBride?
Ian, I know that you've presented these, this sort of the, it's not really final yet until you have your public meetings? Or is there a chance for, like, where Counselor Crowley mentioned something? Is there a chance for the public to come up with something in here that isn't quite clear or something that we haven't thought of?
Yeah, through the chair, that's what this is all, like, that's what this next month, month and a half is all about, is like, I mean, we put a lot of work into this draft, we being PAC and staff and us, but it's not done, you know, and again, there's thing, we need to test it. Wendy's already testing it against permits that are coming in and saying, what would this mean to this site? Would they still be able to do this or not? And we need to, through these public open houses, through people emailing us, whatever it may be, highlight shortcomings, errors, issues, and yeah, there will be another draft that, like, this is not what will go to the public hearing.
And also, I know there's currently a development proposed, and the development falls within the current land use bylaw and strategy. However, there's some concerns about that, but that's too late at this point. This one doesn't take place until we actually have it documented and approved by the province.
Yeah, through the chair, so the key date is advertising of your intent to adopt. So once you give it first reading, and then put the ad in the paper that you're going to hold a public hearing, mm-hmm. that is when both documents apply.
Okay.
So there's this weird, awkward situation. This is weirdly technical, but there's this period of time where it's really actually hard to give permits because a lot of things don't meet both documents. So if people get their permits in before that their complete application, mm-hmm. then they're under the existing document, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
But they can't let that permit lapse. Like, permits are only good for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
So if the permit lapses and they don't build anything, then
it reverts back to this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a little messiness in there for sure.
Any other counselor have a question? Well, thank you very much, Ian. Very helpful presentation, and
we
look forward to the public consultation that's going to occur.
Yes, posters are there. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thank you very much. Yeah, take five, and I think there's five there.
We'll now move on to item 4.0, tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table? Second call for petitions? Third and final call for petitions? We have no petitions. 5.0, public question comment session, and this is where we allow up to 5 minutes for those in the public gallery to ask a question or make a comment. And please state your name and your address, please. Leon.
Mayor, good chance to stretch some legs here. Long morning. Anyway, Leon Robinson, College Street, Liverpool. I was here for the press meeting yesterday. Very interesting. And the primary budget is up at the same tax rate as we had last year, same tax rate, with the exception of District 13, which is Liverpool, which was down the yearly rate. Which is very good news, and we hope that continues until you finalize your budget.
Thank you.
Secondly, the only thing there is the sound system that I've been talking about for some time didn't get put into the budget and have to be done, but I understand there's going to be an additional microphone or something that's going to be purchased in for a year for the situation?
That is the intent.
Pardon?
That is the intent going forward, to have a portable microphone.
That's what I thought, yeah. Okay, one other thing here. Under 9.3, job description, the development officer, is this a new position for the region? Is there a person in that position at this point in time?
No.
So this would be, once this is approved, you'll be looking at hiring a person for that position, is that correct?
There are a number of key motions that we deal with today that are part of that. So they all come together, and once that's an approved action of council, then that job position would become active.
That job would be available and would be advertised or whatever, is that correct?
So it's a bit premature at this point to say we're hiring anyone. We're dealing with the description.
The other thing there, under 12.3, I see you're looking at replacing the old pool, and possibly it was suggested that near the food space and service center, in that area.
There are a number of recommendations, and council will deliberate on that later today.
And one other final thing, my guidance is not out. In 12.2, you have a playground near the park over near the service center. My understanding was, going on for some time, is that the region was prepared to provide the lands there, and in addition to that, in kind work to get the lands ready. Now, we're looking at an additional 900,000 possibly putting in that project in the road, is that correct?
The previous agreement was rescinded, and we have a new agreement whereby Autism Nova Scotia, through their South Shore chapter, will need to raise the funding for that playground, at which time the agreement allows us to actually construct it similar to the skateboard park.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lena. Any other member of the gallery? Yes.
Celeste Johnson, I'm president of Queens Community Audit Society, and on item 12.3, I just want to say that we are delighted that this item has come forward on the agenda this year, and that to reinforce the idea that we are passionately committed to working towards having an aquatic center, and we know that this is going to be an outdoor facility because the funds aren't there for an indoor facility, but we will work as hard for an outdoor facility as for an indoor facility, and hopefully it will be constructed in such a way that at some point it will be an indoor facility. But just to say that we are very happy that this is on the agenda, and we look forward to further deliberations and discussions with you in the future on this item.
Thank you, Celeste. Mm-hmm. Any other members of the gallery? Hearing none, I thank you. Under 6.0, approval of minutes, we have 6.1, regular council minutes, February 11th, 2020. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes as circulated would be in order. Moved by Councillor Johnson, seconded by Councillor Mews. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. Under 6.2, we have the public hearing minutes of February the 11th, 2020. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes will be acceptable. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Councilor McLeod. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We have nothing today under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. Under 8.1, under economic development, we have the Queen's Economic Advisory Committee terms of reference. Who would like to take the lead on 8.1? Councilor Filler.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the terms of reference for the Queen's Coast Economic Advisory Committee, and further that this term of reference and supporting documentation be submitted to the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, requesting that the Region of Queens Municipality be designated as an economic development agency under the Provincial Regional Enterprise Network funding program, with our request being $175,000.
Second to that, Deputy Mayor Kelly. CAO, would you like to give us a briefing on this?
Sure. As we're all aware, the municipality was formerly involved with the South Shore Rand, and before that it was the Lunenburg Queens RDA Redevelopment Agency, which no longer exists. We had partners in Lunenburg County and in Shelburne County who have both decided, or Lunenburg County wanted to go on their own. In Shelburne County, some of them it's financially not prudent for them to join a smaller rent type organization. Some of the other larger ones want to go, or are looking at going into Western Rent to the other side, to the other part of the province. And so what we have before us to discuss with the council, that had a couple discussions about what we want to do with economic development and business development. Currently we have two staff now who focus more on the community development stuff, building relationships, partnerships, looking after our facilities, our various programs and tourism type opportunities, signings, those types of things. And they're not directly involved with business development. So this is our ask today, or the recommendation today is to move the community towards looking at business development. So we have a number of properties, we have buildings, we have private sector people looking for support, and we don't have the current resources right now on staff to help support tech, just private businesses, not community development, that's not nonprofits, businesses. And so further on, you'll see the job description for the particular person that we would look to hire. So what's been prepared is a terms of reference for an advisory committee, and it outlines in quite detail what the role of this committee will be. The recommendation is, according to the provincial regulations, completely private sector board, so no members of council on the committee, no voting members, staff, or anything like that. It's strictly a private sector board, business people that are driven strictly by business decisions. And so the recommendation is, as you see the detailed outline of what the responsibilities are, they're all business responsibilities. There's no community development initiatives in here. There's no other things around that. These are all business type research and going out and looking for business. And so with that, I won't go into the details. It can circulate to council, but I'm going to do my best to answer any questions council may have. So the proposal today is, if we approve this, we approve the job description, we've got to finalize the budget document as well. Once we get all that together, we send it to the province, and then we ask them to designate us as a REN or a REN body, and we'd ask them for the $175,000, which would pay for the staff person we're talking about hiring, as well as provide some funds to do the other projects that are business-related that we want to do going forward. If we do not receive the approval for the $175,000 from the province, depending on the amount we get, this committee does not get set up, and we do not hire a business development office.
So, questions of council? Any comments, questions? Councilor McLeod?
So, Chris, if I may direct to Chris, and I read the document here, and we certainly do require some type of community involvement with our economic development decisions, and the best people to consult are the business people themselves with the direction given to. Well, it says here direction to our economic development, director of economic development, who is Jenny. That's who you're referring to in this document. The first one, terms of reference. Is that who you're referring to? Or is that the new person?
The terms of reference, the terms of reference are such that the director of economic development would be the person that would be the support person that would directly report to the board.
Okay.
Or sorry, this committee.
Okay.
The business development officer would report to Jenny. They would do 99% of the work of this committee, but that person would report to Jenny, not to the board. It would be inappropriate for that person to report directly to this committee.
Yes.
It would have to be the director, would have to be the direct report.
Okay. So I understand that under the terms of reference, a lot of their tasks and their responsibilities were very similar to what the new proposed staff person would be doing. So they're basically kind of working together.
Absolutely. That's what I said. 99% of what that person will be to focus on this committee's work, which is all business.
Yeah. And they will be the resource to this person.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks. Okay.
Any other councillor? Councillor Fancy?
I guess we're all the first ones to be making this application. So has the government responded to any groups yet? And I guess, who has tried to stay in the REN and who hasn't? Is that a fair question to ask?
Well, the South Shore REN specifically?
No, just in general and provincial-wise.
Province-wide, I don't think there's any that have stayed in the REN.
Okay.
As far as, I shouldn't say that because I don't know for sure, but most of them have morphed into different things.
That's right.
There may be a few of them that still operate under the old REN system, but I'm not aware of any. But there may be one or two out there that are still there. In our particular case, all the municipalities want out of this REN, so they get out. There are a number of models now. The REN was originally set up to have seven or eight RENs across the whole province, so very large geographic regions to do economic development regionally. There was nervousness at the beginning when it started about whether you can do economic development regionally, and we were, at the end of the day, we realized it wasn't possible. so that's why it may have happened. So the province has approved RENs for smaller communities outside of regional in the province. They've already set the precedent.
Okay.
So our only ask is that they follow the same precedent and grant us the same provision. The only issue will be the money, because we're asking essentially for the whole budget.
Right.
For the whole South Shore.
Yes.
For one town.
So Lunenburg isn't set up yet?
No.
Lunenburg indicated no interest in setting up when it was disbanded.
So my understanding, Lunenburg County, all five municipalities want to do their own thing. They don't want to work together.
Any other counselor? Question, comment? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Under 9.0, we have corporate services. 9.1, we have agreement for Queens Place and Mary Center sports display, a recommendation. Who would like to take the lead on that? Councilor Johnson?
Okay, I'd like to recommend that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality authorize the agreement with Queens County Museum from April 1st, 2020 until May 31st, 2022 for the purposes of curating up to 3 sports memorabilia and history displays per year, and that the mayor and CAO be authorized to execute the lease on council's behalf.
Seconded to that, Councilor Fisk. CAO, would you like to speak to that briefly?
Sure, we currently have an agreement with the Queens County Museum for sporting type displays at Queens Place and Merritt Center. And that agreement expires the end of next week, I believe. So the question is, do we wish to continue with a new agreement with different displays, which are itemized in the Queens County Museum's proposal before you today, for a further 2 years, or if there is some direction from the council to do something different, then certainly staff will recognize those requests and move forward appropriately. The draft agreement is in your package. It's the standard agreement. Pretty much identical last time. Originally we had requested, it was discussion around 4 displays, but the museum has come back and said it takes a lot of time and effort, of course, to put together these displays, and so it's more practical for them to put together 2 or 3 displays. So the recommendation and the agreement, the draft agreement, represents that.
Any questions, comments, or councilors? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Well, I'd just like to comment. I mean, I think they're wonderful. I mean, it's all about our history and sporting history, and a great place for it to be. And it's been amazing what they've done so far, the museum with these sports displays. But we don't seem to have anything in place for promoting them, right? We see a few things. So do we have a plan, or can we put a more progressive and robust plan together to actually get the word out about the displays there? There doesn't seem to be a lot of, I know personally, I mean, I hear about them, but they're there. Now if we have 3, they're there for a longer period of time. I'd like to see more promotion about these so that more people become aware of them. Like they go in, I think we might see something, but then doesn't seem to be a plan in place to actually keep promoting them.
CAO?
I'm not sure what we actually do for promotion at the present time, but obviously our communications person is here and obviously heard the discussion, so I'll have a chat with her going forward if the council agrees to this, to do more. We do on a regular basis do other types of promotions for certain things, so we put that into our calendar.
Yeah.
So often,
yeah.
Do a promotion about the
just
display.
So we get a bit more. And I know the museum promotes it as well, but like you say, the more the better. Like people are over there, and I don't know if there's anything that can be put in place like at the facility itself to direct people to the display. I don't know, but yeah, just be more. If we're going to do it, let's make sure that the maximum amount of people get a chance to view it and read what's there and view what's there.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councilor McLeod?
Well, I know that we had built a new display case for the displays, and I think they're in a very good location because they're visible to the cafeteria, they're visible to in the lobby, but I'm wondering for the $3,000 that we have provided to the museum, and I know they have a Facebook page, and we all have Facebook pages. There could be a feature, that sort of thing, on the heading of all this type of social media. So I think we could work together with the museum in trying to get more promotion.
Thank you, Councilor McLeod. Councilor Crilly?
Well, the displays, they're great, and they're part of our history for sure. I personally am not a fan of displays that sit there for 3-4 months. I think there is opportunity for us to not only have the museum's display, but other people. You know, I'll use Kinsman as an example. They have an anniversary coming up, a very important one. It'd be nice to have additional things be featured in there, and there's probably other people in the community that have displays that they might want to display there. So I think it could become a more active thing, something that could be, you could look forward to it, and it's nice, but you know, 4 months down the road seems like a long time. So I would really like to see it be opened up. I would prefer to see it a 1 year contract, and then we look at it again at the end of the year and maybe put the word out, maybe an RFP, to see if there are other community members, because it doesn't have to be about sports, it's about our community. And we have many things to be proud of in our community. So I think that we should be exploring some other possibilities along with having a museum there. So that's my thought on that.
Thank you, Councilor Phillip. Any other councilor? Councilor McLeod?
That brings up a comment for me or question. We have a video monitor there that is on site at the Queen's Place, and it's positioned toward the reception desk. And I often thought it would be better positioned near that display so that people coming in, sitting there at the cafe, would have, you know, could view that, and that would be an opportunity for, we've had some exposure to some businesses on there, but if you had a video of some sort that could be constantly rotating, it would be another opportunity to display certain products, services, or memorabilia, whatever, through a video source.
Thank you, Councilor McLeod. Any other councilor? Are you ready for the question?
Question. No. I have another question.
Okay, Councilor Phil.
I'm just wondering if it's a possibility that we continue on with the museum, but there's opportunities for other people to approach the museum and put displays in, which lightens the burden for them, and then we have a more active thing. Is there any interest in that?
Certainly it's possible, and the museum would be welcome to sit down and chat with people about doing displays. I don't see that as an obstacle with them.
But it's not part of this motion, so if we agree to this motion, then it's a 2-year strictly museum.
And you're correct on that, because it's been the policy of staff that we have displays there that are sports related, and that is the recommendation of staff in that regard that's coming forward today. That's the reason the recommendation reads as it does. But that's not to say that there can't be some cooperation and some work along the way on this. That's not in the motion today. Councilor Johnson?
Is it possible to amend the recommendation?
It's possible to make an amendment to it.
Yeah.
I guess I would suggest to you that if you're going to do that, then you want to have preparations in your mind as to what you would like for displays here in the future, because you're taking an action at this point with an amendment that's going to chart the future. So I guess if anyone wants to make an amendment to the motion, they're certainly able to do so.
Well, it would be nice to make an amendment, but it would also be nice to talk to the museum to see if they're interested in it or whether that's something that would work for them. I don't want to make a motion that doesn't work in their favor. I want everybody to understand that anytime we promote other things in a display case or anywhere in town, that that's a good thing. So I'm not prepared to make that motion and do it without conversation. So the only thing that I would ask is maybe we defer that till next meeting.
And that is a decision of council. If someone wants to make a motion to defer and it's passed, then that becomes
I'll make that motion to defer.
Council Kerwick making a motion to defer the decision on this item to next council meeting.
You seconded for that?
We do.
Oh, that's me.
Council McLeod is seconding that, and we have discussion. And council would like to speak on that. Council Fancy.
I believe that what they've done here with the museum, they've at least tried to do something there that, as I say, is perfect. Nothing is ever perfect to what they're doing, but at least they've gone forward to try to say we're going to try to have to incorporate others in with them. That's going to have to be their choice if they want to do that, because we have somebody who's willing to go forward, and we've never had that. So to be able to take, to maybe force them or make them into a spot that I don't feel they may or may not be comfortable with, I think we can talk to them about it, but I'm willing to go forward with the first motion, not saying to be able to go forward with this.
Any other counselor? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I think that, you know, in all good faith, the Queens County Museum is carrying on, and these discussions should have happened before this deadline is up, so that, you know, they're making plans with their budget and plans that they're doing with the museum and how they're interacting with the community. So I think that, you know, I don't think it should be deferred. I think that, you know, if we want to have these further discussions in the year and what happens with this project, is that the dates, it could be from April 1st, 2020 to March 31st, 2021, and we have a whole year they can get on with their budget and their plans for the upcoming year for their displays. And during that year, there can be ongoing discussions and conversations about, you know, what could come after, you know, what could start in April 1st, 2021 to further this project.
So in that respect, it would take the amendment to the motion to fail in order to provide another amendment to get down that path.
Okay.
So, any other conversation on this? Yes, Councilor.
I would withdraw the deferred request, because I do agree with Deputy Mayor Kelly that they do have a budget and they're trying to work with the budget. So, but in 1 year we should be able to sort all that out and see if there is any interest in doing that. So,
so Councilor Frelick is indicating he wants to remove the amendment.
Yes.
Councilor McLeod, are you in agreement with that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay, so we have a mover and a seconder. So the amendment is now removed. We are back to the original motion at this point.
We need an amendment to the original one to change the date.
Yes, I'm asking if there's going to be an amendment.
I'll make a motion to change the recommendation to April 1st, 2020 to March 31st, 2021.
Seconded with that, Councilor Frelick. Any discussion on that amendment? Councilor Fancy?
Is this going to be, what we're going to now is to say we're going to do it a 1 year or 2 year. They've asked for a 2 year. I'd like to give them the 2 years. You have to go forward with that. I mean, we can have the discussion with them and talk with them. I don't think we need to be limiting. It's like with everything, when you go forward with budgets, 2 years, a lot easier to work than 1 year and trying to be able to get things together and everything else. So I think we're limiting them, and I don't want to do that.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. Any other councilor have any comment or a question? So we have before us an amendment to make it a 1 year agreement instead of a 2 year agreement on the displays at Queen's Place. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion, the amendment to the motion? All those opposed? Passes 5-3. So now we have an amended motion for 1 year. Are you ready for the question on that? All those in favor of the motion as amended? All those opposed? It passes 6-2. Thank you. So that brings us to the next item on the agenda, which is 9.2, extension of lease for former Liverpool Courthouse. Who would like to take the lead on 9.2, Councilor Foley?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens and Municipality authorize the extension of the lease with Queens County Museum from March 6, 2020 until March 31st, 2025 for the purpose of curating the Queens Museum of Justice at a nominal lease rate, and that the Mayor and Chief Administrative Officer be authorized to execute the lease on council's behalf.
And a seconder to that, Councilor Muse. CAO, do you want to give us a very brief update?
So similar to the last issue, we currently have an agreement with Queens County Museum for the essentially for the daily operation of the former Liverpool Courthouse. The agreement terms and conditions are almost identical. The municipality is responsible essentially for the infrastructure, for the building, for the heat, the lights, the power. For that part of it, the museum would be responsible for staffing it and providing janitorial services and promotion of their events and those types of things. And of course, any revenue they generate through any events and stuff they have, they keep and they use that to help pay their costs to the facility. The only change is the cold water collection is being removed if they don't have enough space for it. It's being proposed, and so they're going to look for another space with the cold water collection that was in there. And so simply they'll continue with the Museum of Justice and look for opportunities to expand that and make that provide more information, more documents, more infrastructure and things in the facility to allow to increase the interpretation and the promotion of things to get more visitors to it. And there is a report attached to my report, which just outlines what they've done in the past year, all the donations they've gotten, all the support they've gotten from the legal community in order to make the facility a reality as it is today.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Johnson?
I think at one point in time, Councilor Muse and I had a conversation with these folks seeking a little bit of compensation for internet and Wi-Fi capability in the building. That would be parcel of our commitment and agreement to help them out a little bit.
And that's not part of the motion today. Any other comments or questions of council? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Just like to note that totally in favor of this. They're doing an amazing job. It's a perfect fit. It always was a perfect fit. And just going to the previous motion as well is that, you know, there's an opportunity here to expand on what the museum's doing, not just with our sporting history, but with history all over our community and displays and bringing attention to the Museum of Justice and supporting in other places in the community just what the history of our justice system here in Queens County has been. So, I mean, there's so many more opportunities, and that's why I think it's a good idea that this could be just, you know, expanded on so much more in what the Queens County Museum is doing in the community.
Any other councillor, a comment, question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you all. And that brings us to 9.3, the job description of business development officer. Who would like to take the lead on 9.3? Councilor Muse?
I move that the Council of the Region of the Queens Municipality approve the business development officer job description.
Seconded to that, Councilor Fisk. CAO, would you like to give us an update?
As previously mentioned, this is a new position that would be created to focus strictly on business development, not community development of any nature. As noted, most of the job items that are listed in the job description directly relatable or attributable to the terms of reference to the advisory committee. And so, as mentioned, the position would not be advertised, will not be filled or anything until we determine whether it's cost sharing or there's funding available from the province to pay for the position.
Any questions or comments of councilors? You ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. It passes. Thank you very much. And what we will do now, we'll take a recess until 1:15. Thank you. So we will resume council meeting. We are now at item 10.1, tender SWO1-2019/20 organic transfer, and I would ask Scott LeBlanc, our solid waste clerk, if he'd like to come forward. Who would like to take the lead on 10.1? Councilor Freeler?
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality recommend the tender for organic transfer be awarded to GE Environmental for the quoted price as set out in the form of tender in tender number SW01-2019-2020.
Seconded for that. Councilor Fisk. So you've seen the recommendation and the report that goes with that. Do you have any questions on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on now to 10.2, solid waste management facility tipping fees. Who would like to take the lead on 10.2? Councilor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the tipping fee schedule as attached for residential municipal solid waste, sorted construction, demolition material, mixed construction and demolition material, blue bag, recyclables, metal, white goods, contaminated soil, and septic, effective April 1st, 2020.
Seconded for that. Councilor Fisk. That report was circulated with that recommendation. Are there any questions on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous.
Good job, Scott.
I'm going to get left.
Drink water.
So we will move on now to 11.0 finance, and under that we've got 11.1 administrative policy 9, tax exemption. I would ask Director of Finance, Jim Hughley, to come to the presentation desk. Who would like to take the lead? Councilor Fisk.
I suppose that the Region of Queens Municipality approve administrative policy number 9, representing tax exemption, as amended.
Seconded for that. Councilor Fancy. Jennifer, would you like to give us a brief update on this one?
As we spoke about during our budget discussions, I've left the $75,000 line item in our budget this year, which should cover it. It did cover the uptake from last year, which was 291. The 75,000 covers 300 people, and we always raise our minimum income requirement on our tax exemption bylaw based on the guaranteed income supplement as produced by the federal government each year. So this is updated to the 2020 number.
Any questions of councilors on this issue? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Sorry, this is the same as last year's $250.
Yes.
Any other questions or comments? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Moving on to 12.0, recreation and community facilities. We have 12.1, physical activity strategy 2020 to 2025. Norm Muro is at the presentation desk along with Megan Roberts and Megan. We have a full complement. Who would like to take the lead on this? Councilor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt the 2020 to 2023 Physical Activity Strategy and thank the members of the Steering Committee for their invaluable input into this document.
Councilor Hughes, that should be 2025 instead of 2023.
Sorry, 2020 to 2025.
Thank you. Seconded for that, Councilor Fancy.
I shall. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This would be the second iteration of a physical activity strategy, the first one presented in June of 2010. Just historically, the vision was that all residents of Queens will choose to be and are supported to incorporate physical activity into our daily lives, where we work, live, and play, contributing to a stronger community and healthier people. So you'll see a lot of similarity in the vision that we've developed part of this process. So part of the requirement of the MPAL position is an updated physical activity strategy, which we are presenting today. Note on page one of the staff report, some requirements therein. Priority on physical activity outcomes, align activities with the MOU, which is a memorandum of understanding with my position and provincial strategies, and cooperation with other municipal staff to identify potential actions from other departments, and that's that whole of government approach. So moving on to the second page of the staff report, you will see there some of the core values that our committee developed, and I would reiterate how valuable the work of the committee was, and also mention briefly that how, and I've attached this, we've attached the notes from the public meetings at the end of the document. Debbie attended one, spoke very eloquently on the needs of people with intellectual disabilities and how as a community we can respond. So I draw your attention to the five goal statements, which will guide our work. Increase awareness of the value of physical activity, inclusion and access to recreation for populations that face certain constraints, social connections, partnerships. We would especially like to strengthen the partnership between municipal recreation and the health system, whether they be primary health care providers or people in different capacities, and building capacity, improving community capacity, because we do recognize that to a large extent, recreation and physical activity programs are developed in small communities throughout Queens. You see our vision, you see our mission. So the obvious, and the other thing that will flow from this, you might ask, is where are specific projects, specific timelines? Those will evolve as we go about implementing the document. That will be our work plans. These are broad directions to guide our work along with the feedback of council. So you say, now what? At least that's what I would say. Now what? So how will it look different? How will it address behavioral change? This might not be an exhaustive list, but here's how it's going to look different or new when we sit down tomorrow to begin the work of this program. And this is not in your package. We will not do programs simply to fill a month or a quarter. Rather, we shall identify who we shall work with, who we will partner with to achieve the goals of the document. How will we encourage people to make movement? Not sport, not exercise, not the 150 minutes a week that you all as adults know we have to get according to participant action, but how we do basic movement as part of our daily lives, not something we have to fit in. How will we encourage people to walk, and find social connectivity to do so? I can't read my own writing, Mr. How will we support, encourage, and inspire volunteers and communities to have vibrant and viable community halls and local programs? How do we address barriers? Very, very important. Social, transportation, economic, personal, to encourage people to move more. How do we consider the most vulnerable, most sedentary, the most unengaged of our population to encourage them to move more? And one of the key things, and it's in your document, are we part of the problem systemically? And a wise man, not me, once said, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And lastly, how do we put all this in context? Page 15, you can read it at your convenience, the social and says that. What's that say, Dana? Hang on, I can't read. The social ecological factors of affecting health behavior, which recommend an interventions based on individual, physical and social/environmental and policy levels, with the goal being to change behaviors. Okay? And let me conclude my presentation. 5 minutes, Christine, right. I know.
You did it.
By the story of Avery.
Yes.
Okay? Avery.
Yes.
Last June 1st and June the 8th, with the assistance of Councillor Johnson, we had two bike exchange days. We could easily have said, let's have a bike rodeo. And the young people that would have showed up would be people who already had bikes. They already had helmets. They already, perhaps, this is a broad generalization, but I believe it to be true, is you might have targeted or you might have got those people in the room that didn't need that service. So bike exchange was going to start at 9 o'clock, curling club. So I left the house 10 to 8.
And I went around, because we just live around the corner from that. And there was this car, this family, there. And three young people and two or three adults. So I pulled in, I said, "You here for the bike exchange?" He said, "Yes." "What time did you get here?" 6 o'clock. Why? Mom just got off shift from Tim Hortons. Avery needed a bike. He did not have a bike for 2 years. For 2 years. It was 10 to 8. I said, "I'll take your name. You guys can go home, go get a coffee or something." He said, "No. Want us to here to make sure Avery gets a bike." So I call up Tim Smith from the club, lets everybody in, and I took their names. He had two siblings there. I said, "Avery, you don't have to stay here. You really don't. You're number one in the list." Between then and 9 o'clock, Avery went, stood by that bike, and he got his bike.
That's wonderful.
All right.
So that's why we do it, as Megan says. And that's what we have to do. That's how deep we have to go. Programs aren't going to cut it. No disrespect intended, but major facilities like Queen's Place aren't going to cut it exclusively. They're valuable resources. Even our parks and open spaces, which are readily available, we don't see the uptake that we used to. So my successor, your successors, have got to go deeper into this issue if we're really going to make a change. And that's my presentation, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Any questions of councilors?
Just a comment, really. I mean, I know the job is really, really difficult, and you can see through, well, what's happening now with our kids and gaming and devices, digital devices. This is the world they live in. So it is a really hard job, and I really don't know how you solve it unless, you know, my kid, I just kick him outside, like get outside, like put it down, take it away, and get outside, right? Which isn't really, you know, that hard to do, but I know that it's a difficult nut to crack. But this sounds like you're doing a good job.
It
so
is.
Far.
This,
good
it
thinking.
Is.
Good thinking.
And but it's not something that we shall solve alone.
No.
Collaboratively, we really, collectively as a community, have to address it.
Councilor McLeod.
Well, I have a granddaughter. She's 13 now. A little gadget girl.
Katie, right? Yeah.
It is difficult to get her stimulated to do any physical activity. The only way I've seen it work is if I take her, be with her, she has someone as a partner, she has a friend that they hang out together, and then they do things together. So
yep.
it's a tough world with our young people.
Yep.
If we're targeting our youth, it's a tough way to get them stimulated to do things. And we don't have all the answers.
We certainly
don't.
But
I think it takes the parents' role as well, and folks that these young people are around, to get them interested in certain things. I know the library has been a real catalyst.
Yep.
In getting young people into the reading and into the crafts and into these other things. And they even tried the physical activity, because my Katie used to go when they had those little outside activities.
Yep.
And
right.
she was really interested in that, but now she's changed, her age is a little bit older, so she doesn't do those sorts of things. But if we could just get that interest from the parents and from the old, you know, the grandparents, whoever seem to be more inclined to spend time with the kids than the actual parents.
You're quite right, and danger zone for young females is around 11, 12,
mm-hmm.
when they start to go away from physical activity in droves. Social connectivity is very important with adolescent females, females only programming, and something that came up very strongly in our discussions was lack of parental, grandparental, whatever, role modeling.
Mm-hmm.
To role model physical activity. And it doesn't have to be, you know, anything. It could just be going for a walk or taking the kids outside, as Deputy Mayor Kelly says. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a really tough thing.
I just add a funny little comment is the dollar store has been the catalyst for Katie to walk. She goes there to buy all her craft supplies, and
okay.
She's getting closer now. So she's always walking to the dollar store.
Okay. Well, I'll ask them to move it further away from her.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough thing to do.
But if I may, and I know my time is up, Christine, right? one more comment, how you have to look at things differently. In that same public meeting that Debbie was at, there was a woman, she lives on Park Street, I don't know what her name is, but she lives down by you, And she said, you need more parks, you need more benches in your parks.
Right.
And you think, why? Well, she has breathing difficulties. She's a long-term condition. So when she walks, she needs to take a rest. Now, you and I might say, if we look at things the wrong way, that is what we do, but you go through Trestle Trail. Is there a bench there, for example? You know, but she has to physically take a break, not because she doesn't want to walk or be active, but she has to. So you have to look at so many different things: age, income, level of, you know, if they have any particular medical difficulties, and so on and so on and so on. And it's we learned a lot, Mr. Mayor, when we did those, even though we didn't have as many people, but when we did those things, we really learned a lot. And I'd encourage you to go through those notes, because there's a lot of fascinating stuff there at the end of the document.
Councilor Fairley.
Well, I love how we blame everything on the kids when we're sitting here on our phones and watching Netflix and doing all that. But regardless.
Balance.
So I understand totally what you're saying. I would like some examples of programs that we've had in the past that you're thinking can be done differently for the future based on all the information you've learned. So you have programs that were semi-successful. Now we're not into programming.
Yeah.
How do you take that forward? How do you present that to the public?
Well, you have to look at whole of population approach, okay? So I don't know if it's a specific program, but you have to take things away that are perhaps preventing people from being involved in existing programs. I'm not thinking so much right now about new programs, but there are a few. The home support exercise program that we got an age-friendly grant for. And I would say, Mr. Mayor, that a lot of stuff that Christopher and Andrew and Annette talked about this morning mirror exactly some of the challenges in the broader community. So home support is where we train volunteers to go into frail, elderly people and get them to do chair exercises, so hopefully they get more mobile and increase their physical activity level. Girls-only programs that we run at the middle school are successful. Trailblazers up in Caledonia is successful. I have ideas that for the whole of community, like a men's shed program, that men could gather to not just become physically active, but to learn new skills. I've got an idea for, and this sounds kind of sad to say, but a parental training program called What Am I Good At? Where they can take, they have a method or a toolbox to sit down with their child or their grandchild and say, how can I help you? Like a leisure education model. And, you know, those are just some things that we played with or we were thinking about. From the region's perspective, I think we have to look at, again, if we need different policies to encourage people to become more involved in different things. We need to make use of Queens County Transit to get people places. And we need to make use of social connectivity, like church. And there's a lot of stuff in here about non-traditional ways that people can gather and socialize. So I don't have specific ideas other than those few, but that's exactly the type of holistic or the type of universal approach that we all have to take. And the exercise is medicine thing, I think it's going to be really, really important to it. I heard the stat, I think I've forgotten it, it's something like 73% of people who are prescribed simple physical activity based on their level, their ability level, actually follow through that, which is a much higher rate than a drunken New Year's resolution, right? And that's, honestly, that's what we have to do, is to liaise and partner and look at the whole of the community, work with volunteers, and get this done.
I just want to expand on that a little bit more. So I would hate to see us drop programs altogether and kind of get back into that thing without using our strategy, because that's exactly what a strategy is for,
right,
moving forward, to kind of eliminate things that are important to people. You know, and I go back to the Beach Bash, which, you know, has been gone for 1 or 2 years. That served a purpose for a group of people, and it may not be everybody's cup of tea, but I'll use that as an example. Like, how would you, look at that through these new eyes that you're suggesting and be able to offer that to the group of people that really enjoyed mm-hmm. that? And I know we dropped it because, we, you know, the numbers were down.
Yep. Probably if you adhered strictly to the MOU, you wouldn't. Unless, well, I shouldn't say that, Councilor. Unless you, which we did 1 year, unless you incorporated some physical activity into the piece, okay? The whole social, I hear you, it's a bit of a gray area, because at one point we're talking about physical activity, but yet we recognize the importance of people just playing, getting out, and socializing.
Which is important in a different way. It's mentally.
Yep. So I, it's not my place to say, perhaps more Megan's to respond to, is if we never do that. But I guess that activities like that aren't necessarily reflected in the strategy, but perhaps it's council's wish. I don't know. I don't know. But that's. But I hear you. Especially with older people or people who've been, sedentary, or maybe they suffer from anxiety or whatever. That whole social connectivity piece is so important to getting people just to get out and move. So,
I have one more. I'm just wondering also how this fits in, because you unveiled a program. I can't remember the name of it just recently. Yes, you can.
Sure, you can. Sure, you can remember.
Sure, you can. How does that fit in with this new philosophy that you're using? Because it seems very much like rewarding people for.
Yep. Catching people in the act of physical activity
and
celebrating that and encouraging that. Same as the Queen's Walks 2.0. We didn't physically run a walking program, but we gave people the tools to say, if I want to have a lovely beach walk that's 1.5 kilometers long with lovely ocean vistas, Beach Meadows is the place for you. Okay?
How do you measure that?
You don't.
To know that it's working?
we really don't. Other than if you count likes on Facebook, right? And that is also a difficulty, is when you get into these broad-based things, unless you have unless you somehow, the sort of the dichotomy between physical programs and more promotional participation type of stuff, there isn't a practical way to measure the uptake on it.
Thank you.
Councilor Johnson?
I read through the report, and just kind of help me here a little bit. The actionable part of the strategy document is really only page 11 through to page 16. Right?
That is correct.
The rest of it's all supportive information.
That is correct.
Okay. And this supersedes everything else that you've done to this point, because we've had a couple of documents come before us that says we're not going to get into programming, we're not going to do this, and we're so this takes all of that off the table.
No, these all complement each other.
So what else? Because they're not part of the appendices, right? I would like to see this document, all those other supporting documents for us as council, if we're fortunate enough next October to make this a living document. If we're sitting here and we're making fun about giving it 5 minutes, but this is a 5-year strategic plan that we're talking about. So at the end of the day, I'd like to see all the other documents that still exist that complement this as an appendices to this, not just from that perspective. And one of those is what was mentioned here, and I think we mentioned it at the last meeting, is that policy 87, recreation for all, that's still in the works, right?
Correct, and that's one of the action items in the strategy, is to finalize that and present it to council and have it approved.
And one of the things I would really like to see, and one of the things that was mentioned in the preamble, uniform themes of our meeting, was schools as hubs of physical activity and increased usage. And it never makes it in the actionable part of the document. And I think that was a common theme around all the feedback that you received.
It certainly came out strongly in our Greenfield meeting as well, Councillor, and it definitely was a theme in Caledonia. But it was one of the common themes in our discussions, for sure.
So from that, though, not be included in there?
It's on page 14.
Yes.
Chapter 2.1, the bottom item.
Okay, good. But that's important. All right. So has your committee, the committee that was struck, I know the two gals in North Queens.
Yeah.
They've all signed off on this?
They're each, when we had before the, we took it and did the final editing of it. We wrote it, spit it back to the committee and to Debbie Smith, and their suggestions were incorporated, were considered, I should say, for the final document.
But they haven't seen the final document?
They have not, no.
Okay.
They have not.
Counselor Panzer?
Yeah. Norm, I got a few things, of course, being from being on the committee, just a few things from some of the places that we have gone to.
Yeah.
And spoken to. And I think the two biggest places where we had people turnouts were in Caledonia and Greenfield.
Correct.
They seemed to really promote and support this and see where we were going with it. I go back to what Frank Pallant said at the start. He said, when you get a large turnout to come out to a meeting to see what could be done, if we don't do anything with it, you'll probably never get it again. So I want to make sure that when we go forward with these, they become actionable items rather than just paper items.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as we know, setting up a lot of committees or groups and things doesn't translate into people coming out. So it means it's going to mean a lot of work, and a lot of times it's going to be a lot of interaction. I think of one thing in particular in Greenfield, and I won't go to what they wanted in particular, but so much as they were saying, we have streets out there that are so narrow that seniors aren't safe to walk on the streets.
That's correct.
So that was a big point that came through time after time after time out there. And they wanted to have security for the seniors, so they wanted some place where they could be able to walk on a level ground, so it wouldn't be high and low, the lighting, and to be able to have it safe. So when we look at those things, that was their number one priority up there, was to have a safe spot for the seniors to walk on. Now, I know when we go through these things, we kind of go around that, but this is a direct item of what they're. And I know what they wanted. They wanted the track, and they wanted to be able to do the lighting and the whole business.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that's the answer, but I always think it's, we should have an attitude of how can I help? Not wait for them to come back and have to ask again. Since they've already asked, made the ask, and we were talking with them with the ask, how can we help? Now, I don't know what we can do and what we can't do, but it's just something that they definitely had a request of.
Yep.
North Queens, of course, was one of the biggest things was working with the schools.
Yep.
And how we could be able to work with the children and how we could be able to use the school more, I guess, profitably.
Yep.
So that was seemed to be a big thing. So we have a lot of groups that are doing their own little things, which is, the phones and things are taken away from things. It's the interaction that's going to make a difference. And I don't even want to say these things again, but Sidney was coming in this grade 11 and 12, and he was going to, I know he's going to go into recreation. I said, well, let's go and do a basketball team up to the middle school. They didn't even have a basketball team up there 2 years in a row. Just one practice and it was over with. Went up and interacted with the kids, got to know the kids, went up and played ball with the kids. And first thing, I had more than enough. I had enough for two teams to play basketball. Those same teams we went through for 2 years, and they went on to play in high school. It took the interaction. So you just can't put out there and say, well, who wants to play basketball and sign up and come out? Because we've lost that. They haven't got the experience, they haven't got the teaching, or they haven't gone through that. It's all in the computers and things. The ground hockey, we did that years ago, I was working at the mill and doing the ground hockey league on Monday and Wednesday night. And I'd have other people who would coach and referee and things. And we did that for 3 or 4 years. and the kids still go up there and play ground hockey. So you set a stage for something else for somebody else to do. I think we could get into there or get somebody in there with, because they're still up there playing ground hockey at night. Because hockey is so big here that during the off season, it's a great thing to be able to have a ground hockey league up there. So we, somehow or another, we could probably say, well, we'll help somebody if somebody wants to do it. Well, if somebody doesn't want to do it, then just, well, you know, we're there to help, but we're not, you know, if anybody doesn't do it, then it just dies. So if we're going to get in, get them where they're at, and not what we want to try to create and try to be like with everybody else. As you know with soccer, soccer didn't work in the summer. It worked in the spring and the fall when the people were not on vacation. So it's all about working where they're at, but also too, following in this report and saying we're going to do something out of it rather than just have a report that will say, yes, we'd like to do this, we'd like to do that, and it's a great thing, great. I think of Shirley Francis, who was up there at the Milton Christian Church. Two days a week, she has meals, and everybody brings potluck in, and they eat together, and they get out, and they get out, socialize, and think mental health is as much as physical health with all these things. So I think we should be looking at all those aspects.
Understood.
Thank you, Councilor Fancy. Deputy Mayor Kelly.
Just a couple of comments or questions. The mission statement, engage, inspire, support. So that's simple, but it's powerful, and it's what you can apply to everything that you're doing, right, and that you're going to do. And it just occurs to me that, you know, when you talk about the walk, you originally call it 2.0 walk, and I did a couple of those as well, but, you know, you engaged. But then if you inspired somebody that went on every single walk to say, oh, you should start a walking club, and then support them in trying to continue that on so that there is like maybe a walking club out there. The one that I really gravitate to, and did so a few years ago, but it still never went anywhere, and is Scouts. There's a number of people in the community that want to, that would fall under this, right? That's a community partnership. That's engaging people and inspiring them and supporting them in order, and I mean, that's a huge movement to get kids involved in other things outside of, well, the social connections and things like that as well. So those would be the kind of things that you'll be doing under the new municipal planning, or sorry, the physical activity strategy.
Yeah, we wouldn't run the program, but
no, exactly.
I know Dave Whiteman was very,
yeah.
Dave was very interested. So
engage, inspire, and support.
We could help them with organizational.
Yeah.
Megan and Dana could help them through the CIF if they needed some funding. So that's the, and as Councillor Fancy said, to get them where they're at.
Yeah.
And you see the definition of community hubs in there, and that's a key tenet of the document, is that we have to support and engage communities to do just what you're talking about, Jack.
But you're going to do the, like, that's the engage piece, so
right.
That's the important part here, that you'd be
that
engaging
correct.
With community members.
That is correct.
Yeah. Any other councillor have a comment or a question? Councillor Kelly?
I see under goal number 4, you've got partner with mental health organizations.
Yep.
I think that should be priority over everything, because this is all about mental health. It's not only about physical activity. It falls under mental health because, you know, if you're 10 or you're 80, it's perfect for what the, you know, a lot of things that happen with mental health. And it does work to kind of turn that around a little bit. So anytime that we can partner with that group and uses that as a priority, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's, as you know, my wife, Dan, she's involved, she's at the school system, and she said there's an amazing number of children who suffer from anxiety.
I have a granddaughter at 10.
You know, and you think, you know, why so, and I don't really has the answer to that, but I agree with you, Councillor, that's a really important thing to do. It's kind of new territory for us, to formally establish partnerships, whether they be program or social media or whatever. I don't know what it's going to be. But mental health can be improved by physical activity, and conversely, mental health can be
detrimental to your, you know, so it works both directions. And we're not going to cure it. We're not expert, you know what I mean? Our goal would be to help people who might be struggling with something to
and you
try
said
to.
We're not experts, so we need to go out and find that information.
Absolutely.
So it's easily
100%.
Accessible.
100%.
And it's out there.
Yeah.
So, if you could do just that, I'd be more than happy with the strategies.
Councilor McLeod?
I know that there are various organizations and groups, and specifically I'm referring to the churches, my church, the Baptist Church in Liverpool. We have Marie Burns has taken on our role as ministerial health nurse, and she's organized programs for anyone in the community. She organized a Wednesday afternoon exercise program for all genders, all ages.
Yep.
She's organized regular, she does things for taking your blood pressure and those basic little test type things that she's able to do.
Yep.
And Russell Prime from Milton, the minister, and also Jesse Lonis, who is our co-minister with her husband, they organize, of course, the youth groups on Wednesday nights. And those young people are from the age of 11 through to 17. And they come every Wednesday night and they do a physical activity and they've done some cooking, they've done their own, you know, sort of any type of activity that they can learn. And I think if you could, knew about these programs, Norm, could you just go out and visit them on one of those nights and
Absolutely.
Get information about what
Absolutely.
They do, pass it on to the
yep.
community, because it may give ideas to others to start similar programs again. And I know their outreach, they love to their outreach for our community, so they could probably share a lot of the successes or what they've tried to do.
It's a good suggestion, and you know, churches to me are an underutilized resource in our community.
And they want to do so much,
yeah.
but there just isn't that, there's just no way to get the word out, I guess.
Yeah, agreed.
Fancy?
I think of also, too, the cadets. I mean, the cadets, they have over 30 people in the cadets. That's incredible, the amount of people. And that they turn them over, they keep turning them over every year, and new ones come in. So they're a success story that's going on. To be able to find out what we could be able to work with or find out more about.
For a very long time, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any other
counselor? Counselor
Johnson?
Just one last question, Norm.
Sure.
Under the evaluation and the monitoring, our goals for success, what is your plan to report back to us on a regular basis? How well we're living? I tell you, I have, and I know I understand that you're trying to build as we go, but there's a lot of speculation here that we can plug anything that we say we're going to do into any one of these holes. But how are we going to measure the success based on this strategy versus all the strategies behind it? Mm-hmm. And how are we going to be kept in the loop as counselors on it?
That's a good question. We have to file as part of MPAL documentation a yearly report on our activities. And that would be due, well, that's actually due soon. So I could see that maybe as a starting point to share that report with council. And for you folks to give us direction. Run the danger of saying we're going to improve everybody's health, they're going to be 20% healthier, right? You know, because, and then you're setting yourself up for abject failure, right? So that's a really interesting question, but I think as we go to come to council regularly, for you folks to take an interest in what we're doing and to ask questions, and to get feedback from your constituents on, you know, our level of activity within your community, not necessarily program, but as we talked about, engage to how much we are out there in the field working with people. But I would see as a formal thing at least once a year to come back to council and say, this is what we worked on, this is what we saw as the outcome, and for you folks to provide feedback. And as we talked about with the plan, it has to be a living document. Can't be something that you do and 5 years later you come back and say, here's another one.
But if I can do a follow-up, I personally don't think once a year is frequent enough.
No.
I think think it should be quarterly, and I think the measures, for me to support this today, the measures have to be linked with the goals.
Understood.
And, you know, you guys figure out what is success and what isn't. And yeah, success that everybody's going to become 20% healthier. I can walk 5 miles and eat twice as many hot dogs. I'm not going to be any healthier. At the end of the day, I think the big thing, and I think you nailed it pretty well, is the awareness and availability for people to be able to participate. That, to me, is one of the key successes for this document. And I'd like to see that, and I'd like to have some assurance that part of the appendices to the documents are all the other physical activity strategies that go along with it. And if I can get that assurance today, then
we can do that. And I'm happy to come back, Mr. Mayor, and speak and update you each quarter. Happy to do that.
So we'll get those other documents.
Just to clarify, this is a physical activity strategy required by the province, and the other documents are other internal documents that we've used and developed over a period of time. And so they don't necessarily, like I said, they're all supporting each other, but they're not directly related to this. So to attach them to this document would be unfair, because they don't directly relate to this document. They relate to the whole structure of what we're doing for recreation health and communities. All those documents are available, and there's no secrets there. What we're trying to do here is we're trying to empower communities and empower people to take responsibility for their own physical activity, their own health, their own lifestyle, and those types of things. And so it's no different than economic development. We can do all the things we want to do about economic development, but we get into evaluation, we can't point to any job we've created unless we hire them ourselves. And it's the same with this. I mean, we can put in place a strategy, we can offer some different educational opportunities and some other, we can put some policies in place, but at the end of the day, there's no way we can measure whether we've been successful or not in a measurable, quantifiable way. Now, qualitative way. Now, qualitatively, we can have anecdotal stories about somebody as, like we talked about with the young gentleman, I assume the gentleman or lady with the bicycle. We offer a bike rodeo. The people that already have the bikes are going to get serviced, and the person that doesn't have a bike isn't going to be sitting on the sidelines. Which is one day, once every couple of years, whereas you provide that bike to that person, they have a bike every day of the year for the next five or however many years they have it. That's what the goal of this whole strategy is going forward. That was the strategy of putting in place the CIF, so that communities could put in place infrastructure in their own communities with our support that they can use at their own time, their own leisure, all those types of things. And our responsibility with this document really is about promoting those opportunities, providing support for those facilities, providing support for those communities that want to do programs, providing them some access to funding, whether it's our funding or other funding sources, and encouraging them. I mean, I see Norm's, 99% of Norm's job is an encourager. He should be encouraging people. Encouraging them to participate in healthy activities, encouraging them to eat healthy, encouraging them to seek out social support to go into social committees or social groups and so on and so forth. And we can report back, or our staff can report back whenever council wishes us to report back. I just don't want you to have unreasonable expectations, though, because you've got a plan that's a 5-year plan with all these things, and so you might come back in 3 months' time and say, well, we've done item 1 and 2, and then say, well, what happened to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? Those might not get taken care of until year 4, year 5, because we don't have the capacity of one person to do all these things all in the first 6 months of the first year. But really, we need to encourage and support the communities, encourage and support people, and do the best we can with the resources we have to be able to make sure that people have the information they have available, and let them know that there are supports up there. And when we know about other events or things going on, then we promote them as much as we can. And we'll attend meetings when we can. But to ask for quantitative assessment of how successful we are is impossible. And some people said, like economic development, we can't do that. Mental health, we talked a bit about mental health. I mean, we can support people. And that person, we may prevent that person from committing suicide, but we won't know that for sure unless it's an anecdotal story. There may be other people who get some mental health supports through other agencies, but we may not know about it because they may hear about something here or see this document or see another document, talk to somebody, which might encourage them to talk to somebody, and they may go do that, but we would never know about that. And in many cases, we don't want to know about that. We want them to be able to find the supports they want in the community many cases confidentially, but it's our responsibility to make sure they are aware that there are supports out there, there are opportunities to do that. And so I just want to be, make sure everybody's aware that this is a work in progress. We're not going to solve solutions overnight. It is a 5-year strategy. So as I said, some things are going to take years. Other things may happen in the next few weeks, the next few months. We'll go about the best we can. And if council want updates or reports, I encourage you to talk to our staff on a regular basis. If you want quarterly reports, that's fine. We'll have staff bring quarterly reports. Just I need you to manage your expectations that you're not going to come back in 3 months' time and expect we worked on 10 of these, because we won't have worked on 10 of these in 3 months' time. And then you're actually, well, why aren't we working on item A or item B? Staff have to put through, develop the work plans, do those things, and then actually do the items. So there's only so many hours in a day. It's as I said, we're one person working on this whole lot.
So, Councillor Johnson, does that complete your comments?
Yep.
And Councillor Frelick next.